Good morning. You may have saw me disappearing there. Doesn't my height. There's normally a cushion in here, but the cushion's moved for the person that's going to do the reading today, but I forgot the cushion wasn't there. So I knelt down to put my knees onto the cushion, and I just disappeared. So there we are. Anyway, it's lovely to be here. Welcome. Whether you come every Sunday, whether you're first time with us, whether you're online, we bid you a warm welcome. As we come to worship the God who is alive and well today, the one who created the world around us, the one who's in control of the world around us, the one who is sovereign, but the one who also invites us into a close and intimate relationship with him. Let's pray together as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed present with us, that your Holy Spirit amongst us can inspire and direct us and can lead us deeper into the truth of who you are and what you have done for us. In this moment and at this time, help us not only to focus on you, but to be drawn deeper into our relationship with you. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Invite Hannah to read the word today.
Today's reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through himself all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Hannah. Maybe I should use that cushion to stand on too. You weren't supposed to laugh at that. Today we start a new series called He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. This is a journey about creation, about covenant, about redemption, about a God who holds all things together, about the sovereignty of the God that we worship. The God who speaks and it came to be, the God who has a plan through all the pages of history, right up to the ones that we can't even see yet. That's the God that we've come to worship. That's our Creator God. And in a world where his created order is under attack, and our understanding of what created order is and who God is in the mix of that, and who we've been created to be, we'll cover lots of those big things over the next 5 weeks. But let's pray together as we begin today. Father God, we want to thank you that your word is true. It's living. It's active. And it can speak into our very hearts today. So by your Holy Spirit, whisper softly, shout loudly at how you want to speak to us or how you need to speak to us today. And give us hearts and minds that will be open to receive your word and not mine, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So these are kind of some of the big themes of the Bible. Creation, covenant, redemption. Sometimes big theological words, you can put even more bigger theological words and hang them onto them if you really want. But let's look at it, if you like, in layman's terms as we walk through all of these things over the next number of weeks. This is about a sovereign God. This is about a God who is in control. Whether we believe that or not, whether we believe the world is in complete chaos and turmoil, whether we believe God has lost control, God is still God. God is still who he says he is, whether we think that or not. In one sense, what we think about God does not determine who God is. He is who he is, Lord of lords and King of kings. Hannah read the John passage today, and not the Genesis chapter 1 passage. Now, we're going to look a little bit at the Genesis 1 as well today, but it was intentional that John 1 was read, because it clearly sets out that from the dawn of time, Jesus was present. We worship the eternal God. We've already declared that in our creed today. We worship the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has always been present and who is not part of the created order. God is not a created being. He has always been. And so in God's sovereignty, and the fact that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, he is sovereign over everything, we find our purpose. We find that he speaks powerful words and acts, and things come into being. He brings all things into existence simply by his voice. And in that creation narrative that we'll look at in a little moment, it reveals the order and the power of who he is. In one sense, how often have you thought, wouldn't it be wonderful, whenever I speak, if just people would listen? It's one of my favourite phrases at the minute in our house with two teenagers. If only you would listen whenever I speak, it might make life slightly simpler. Does that mean I'm going to get it right all the times? Yeah, no, it doesn't. But sometimes we imagine it would be really good if we could speak and it would just happen. But that's exactly what happened with God. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Let the sea split and form a land, and it happened. Those opening creation narrative of the scriptures. In the beginning, God created. He said, let there be light, and there was. And there was evening and morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a fault between the waters that separated the water, and called it sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. God said, let the waters under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. There was evening and morning in the third day. Let there be lights in the fold of the sky to separate the day from the night, and to serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years. There was evening and morning the fourth day. Let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the sky. So God created the creatures of the sea and every living thing which water teems. Let there be evening, and let there be morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground. There was evening and morning the sixth day. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God saw that all he had made was good, and there was evening and morning the sixth day. By the seventh day, God had finished all the work that he'd been doing, and he rested from all his work. Now, you'll note I skipped out bits in there, but you get the rhythm of the created order. God speaks and it comes into being. In the beginning signals God's pre-existence and his authority. He was there before everything else began. He is the eternal God. That's why he can hold it all in his hands. That's why he can hold it all in tension. God's method of creation is wonderful. When was the last time you stopped, paused, and just stood in wonder at the created order around you. Just marveled at the mountains, the sea, the smell of a forest after it has rained. All of those things create a sense of awe and wonder and worship within us. God speaks and it is so. And in that John reading this morning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God. I don't know, whenever you consider creation, whenever you consider that moment of God creating everything around us, I don't know what do you imagine to have happened? Whenever I say God speaks and it came to be, what is the image in your head? For me, many times it's God sitting on a throne speaking and things come into being. But yet, is that right? Well, we will have an image of that moment of power. Whenever God speaks, the very breath of God going out means that everything around it changes. And that is true today as well. Whenever God speaks, the breath of God goes out and everything around it, he can change the situations around us when he speaks into them. That's why often before we come to open God's word, we pray that we would hear his voice and that God would speak to us, whispering softly or shouting loudly, but that he would speak. Because whenever God speaks, things change. And I ask that question, how do you imagine creation happened? Because often we frame it in our own imagination. Often we frame what we read in how we perceive or how we think things. But yet God is outside of that. God is so much more bigger. We cannot box him in. We cannot consider the mind of him. So no matter how much we think we have it nailed down, God is bigger than that. And that's what the creation story tells us. That creation order is a gift. It brings order out of chaos. And that's why in the pages of the scriptures, the sea is often described as the place of chaos. Because God brought calm and created order out of the moment of the seas, the formless and the void place. Whenever Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, they ceased. Because he is the creator God. Now, I know that we're in a Church of Ireland church today, but I want to ask a question to see if you can answer it. What is man's chief end? Go on ahead, Mark. He's a Presbyterian. to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's part of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is man's chief end? What is our purpose? Why did God create us? To glorify him and to enjoy him forever. The created order is to be enjoyed. The God who is the creator is to be enjoyed. We have been made to worship. We have not been made to be passive in this life. We have not been made simply to amble our way through it. We have not been created to simply worship ourselves or think that everything is all about me and it's all internalized into my thoughts and my feelings. No, we have been created to worship and to enjoy God. And that lifts us from ourselves into a place of wonder, of awe, of majesty, and a place where we say, it's not all about me, but it is all about you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who speaks and changes situations. Would you come into my situation? And that rhythm, God speaks, it happens the end of the first day. God speaks and it happens at the end of the second day. God speaks and it happens third day, and so forth and so forth. That rhythm is really important. And at the very end of it, on the seventh day, it says that God rested. And often we frame it in that mind, but I want to frame it slightly differently today. I want to say that God created rest. He created Sabbath, if you like. He took a moment where in the rhythm of the everything else that's happening around, that we need to pause. And so really, in this narrative creation, rest does not come from a place of fatigue, which is often as humans what it is that we do. We keep going and going and going until we're tired, and then we think, I'm knackered, I need to slow down and stop a wee bit. And so rest often comes from a moment of fatigue for us. But in the rhythm that God has created, rest comes because he knows that it's part of who we are and what is needed, rather than waiting for it out of fatigue. It's a part of his design that we would rest. And in those moments of rest, we take a pause from the busyness that brings distraction to everything else, and we worship God. And that's a part of what our Sabbath's about, isn't it? It's taking time out of everything else to join together with God's people in order that we can worship him. That we can be refreshed by him, restored by him, and be sent out by him into the world as waiting for us this week. Those are the moments that we begin to trust in a God who is sovereign and who is all-powerful. Those are the moments that we begin to worship a creator God. He can bring order out of chaos. And right from the very beginning, Jesus was present. See, if you look into Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and we'll come to this in a few weeks in much more detail. But it says, this is after the fall. I will put enmity between you and the woman and bring your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and he will strike your heel. There's a moment even in the midst of that creation narrative where God is saying there is redemption for you even though you may fall. Even though you mess up, even though there's a little mistake, there is going to be a moment of redemption for all of humankind. Because I'm a God of grace and of love. I'm a God who brings order out of chaos. And so we read that in John 1 today. The Savior came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Have we received Jesus? Are we walking with our Savior and our Lord? Are we finding moments of worship and awe and wonder at who he is and what he has done for us? We worship a God who is not created. And that can be hard to get our heads around. It can be hard to begin to imagine something that is not created because we are so used to the created order. So therefore, sometimes it's really hard to describe who we believe God to be. A number of years ago, I had heard a video clip by a Reverend Dr. Lockridge, who was asked to just, off the cuff at the end of a service one night, was asked to describe God. And rather than me trying to do what he said, let's play it and let you hear it. This is the man who was asked to describe God.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's the phenomenon that had ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him. But yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind.
There's a moment, 2.5 minutes into that video, where he says, I wish I could describe him, but he's indescribable. He's described him for 2.5 minutes. That's the God that we worship. That's the creator God. That's the God who can be and is your king. But who are we worshiping today? Are we worshiping our imagination of the creator God? Are we allowing the Creator God to capture our imagination? Because we worship a God who is sovereign. We worship a God of relationship. We worship a God who is merciful and he stretches out the heavens in front of him. We worship the one true God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's my King. Do I always get it right? No. Do I mess up? Yes. Have I failed him sometimes? Yes. Is he still my king? Yes. Is he still my savior? Yes. Does he still welcome me with open arms? Yes. Will I worship him today? Yes. Because he's my king. I wonder, can you say the same? Let's pray together. Lord, help us to grasp the enormity of who you are, of the capabilities of what you can do, even though that is limitless. Help us not to try to contain that in our own thoughts or imagination or limit it with our own knowledge, but simply to allow you to blow our minds and to extend our hearts today into a place where we can receive you afresh and anew like never before. As we leave here, as we go out into our workplaces, our homes, our streets, our places of education, our places where we socialize, may we bring our worship of you with us. May we not be ashamed of that this week as we go to do it. As we walk into places, may your presence not only go with us, but go before us to prepare the way, in order that our lips might be pure and our hearts undefiled as we live out who we are under you. In Jesus' name, amen. But let's pray together as we close today. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.